I'd like to call to order the special meeting of the Grover Beach City Council. It's Monday, January 14th, 2013. It's 6:30 p.m. And I'd like it if you could all stand with me and for a moment of silence. And tonight I'd like us to remember Glenn Ray, who is the Grover Beach pilot who died in the plane crash in the dunes on January 2nd. Post. She would like to study law in college and become a lawyer when she finishes her education. Taylee's interests are dancing, reading, and bike riding. And Taylee's accompanied this evening by her principal, Susan Kesserig. Where's Susan? Wave to us. She didn't get here. Okay. She's probably doing her homework. Her parents and her fourth grade teacher, Gary Gonzalez. Are parents and Gary here? Great. Thank you for being here tonight. Would you like to go ahead and lead us in the salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And if you could come forward, Taylee, and shake everybody's hands. And then I have... Oh, you want us to do a picture first? Okay. There we go.
I love your dress.
If you could all be seated now. City Clerk, could we have the roll call, please?
Here.
Present.
Here.
Here.
Here. I believe we have some closed session announcements, City Attorney.
Members, here we go. On Monday, December 17th, after meeting in closed sessions on two items, one Lopez versus City of Grover Beach existing litigation, the other one was pending litigation, one potential case, the council convened to open session, and there were no reportable actions taken.
Thank you very much. And now is the time that we do our agenda review. The City Council will review the order of business to be conducted and receive requests for or make announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day. And we will, by motion, adopt the agenda as presented or as revised. I actually have a couple of revisions. Let me ask, is there anyone in the audience who would like to make any changes from the agenda or date? There's more information coming in that I think might help us do our deliberating better, and so once we have some more information, then we'll ask staff to bring that back. Is there anybody else who wants to pull anything or rearrange?
No.
Okay, I'll accept a motion then.
I'll make a motion that we accept the agenda as proposed with the revisions made by the mayor.
I'll second that.
Now, do we need a roll call for that?
No,
just all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the item carries. The next item on the agenda is, I think, maybe why a lot of you are here. It's for our Holiday of Light Certificates of Appreciation, and I'm going to call forward the Parks and Recreation Program Director, Kathy Petker.
Thank you, Mayor and City Council members. I'm Kathy Petker. I'm the Parks and Recreation Program Director, and I would like to invite all the Parks, Recreation, and Beautification Commissioners to please come forward and help me with presenting these awards. We have Debbie Johnston, Dee Santos, Heidi Boatman. Our Commissioners Harold Grogg and Ellie Ross were not able to be here this evening, unfortunately. The Holiday of Lights decorating contest has been going on for many, many years, and our community is so proud to be able to offer this to citizens. And we are very happy to say that we get so much community spirit and support in this event. We have
Okay.
We have we had over 50 participants this year in the event with businesses and residents. And the Holiday of Lights is something that happens the second weekend in December, and you can self-nominate your house, and businesses can self-nominate, your residents can nominate, and then also your commissioners actually go out into their specific zones, and they pick addresses that have houses that have decorated beautifully for the holidays. So this year we had four categories, and the mayor and the chair, Dee Santos, is going to go ahead and hand them out, and we would like to start off with. Oh, first of all, I wanted to share with everybody, this is the award that every participant received. The commission assisted in preparing. Go ahead and face the camera. We're taking pictures. Please. Right. All right. Thank you. He's a previous winner, too. He works very hard. Yeah. Very good. The business award is for the best overall display at a business location, and this goes to the Proud Pooch. There's a Proud Pooch here. They RSVP'd. They said they'd be here, but maybe we'll move on. Maybe they'll show up. But
I will say, though, that my dog does go there.
It's a mother-daughter team, and they were very happy to be the winners, and we were very proud that they put a lot of work into their decorations. And then the mayor's award is for best overall originality, use of lights, animation, and theme. And this goes to the Lopez family on Seabright. The Lopez family. Okay, turn around. We'll get a picture of you with the police chief. Picture.
And in our Spanish term, Feliz Navidad y Año Nuevo.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Okay, and the City Council Award for most original use of animation and or craftsmanship goes to the Johnston family. Yay. Yay, woo! This,
you guys did a great job.
The decorations on
real young, you've got a youngster with you.
Thank you. We'd also like to thank our volunteer photographer, Sam Greeley, and his wife, Leah Greeley, who made the map to be the most efficient way for us to get through the city the evening of December 20th. So, and Mayor, would you like to say anything? There's a mic.
My favorite thing about Grover Beach is the holiday parade, but next to the holiday parade, and that's why I moved here, next to the holiday parade, I absolutely love driving around town because it's so cheerful at Christmas time. And I remember one time my elderly great aunt came to visit from New York, and she was just oohing and aahing with delight. She'd never seen anything quite as nice as what we have in Grover Beach. So thank you, all of you who participate every year in making it really fun for us.
And our former commissioner, Jeff Lee, we all decided that we needed to bring that back. We needed to show off what Grover Beach was about. So we're really proud when it comes Christmas time, and we can tell you what's in our city. The businesses and people who live in our town are really proud. So thank you. thank you all for participating.
And next we have Mayor's Commendation, recognizing Chris and Karen Rivas, who are the owners of the Station Grill restaurant. Are you here, Chris and Karen? Oh, there you are. Come on up. I think City Manager Peralt, you were going to read that for us.
Yes, I can do that. Be pleased to. Chris and Karen Rivas established the Station Grill in October of 2009. The name of the restaurant is, as we know, Station Grill, and its decor is taken from its close proximity to the Grover Beach train station. The restaurant's interior is reminiscent of railroad dining sites from another time. The restaurant is located conveniently close at the western end of Grand Avenue, across from the railroad right-of-way, the train station, just a short walk from Pacific Coast Highway and the Monarch Butterfly Grove. The restaurant serves breakfast, lunch, and a dinner menu that has broad appeal to both travelers and residents alike. Often, and this is really important, Chris and Karen, a number of years, and that really speaks to their success as well. Obviously, it hasn't always come easy. They've gone through some difficult times with the economics being what they are. But I can tell you that based on the U.S. Bureau of Statistics, they have really outlived most of what the life expectancy is for small businesses. Most small businesses are finished by the time they're between 5 and 8 years old. Here, the Station Grill is still doing well and serving the citizens and the community for almost 14 years now. Chris and Karen have also made it a point of giving back to the community. They regularly contribute to a number of local worthwhile nonprofit organizations, and Chris is very active in the Central Coast Coastal Railroad Association. Oftentimes, you'll go in and you'll see actual displays that are done in keeping with the rail events. The Rivases are enthusiastic individuals and are strong contributors to both our business environment at the west end of Grand Avenue and the community as at large, as I've also mentioned. Back a couple years ago when we reopened West Grand Avenue, I can tell you that Chris and Karen played a major role in helping the success of that first beach walk celebration that was sponsored by the city. Just by way of background information, we're very fortunate to have them here. Chris has over 30 years of experience in food service. He's been the manager for a Chili's in Northridge, California, and owned his own Subway shop, so he knows what he's doing. Karen comes from a computer science background and has worked for over 20 years at Lockheed, and so she brings that whole computer sense that you need in order to make a business successful. Fortunately for us, they decided to combine their talents and bring them to Grover Beach, and both the city and the community have benefited from their personal contributions and through the successful operation of their restaurant. So it is based on all of those good things that the city has decided and the mayor wanted to offer them this special commendation.
Thank you. Feel married. That's even more unusual. And I think, were you here before the train station was here?
Yeah.
No, but you were here right about the same time that it came.
We followed by about 5 years.
Really? That long? Okay. And it's made a huge impact to have a Station Grill down there at the station. And also, just to let you know, I don't know if you know this, but I had my election party there, but most of the press and media billed it as the most happening election party in the county. So I'd say you scored pretty well there. So thank you so much for all your hard work. It's grueling work, and we really appreciate it. Did you want to say something?
Just thank you to everyone.
Yeah,
certainly everyone here at City Hall, all of our local fans and customers, and certainly my staff and you, Debbie. Thank you.
Thank you. And next we have the swearing-in ceremony and introduction of new police department employees, police officers Danny Gregory Jr., Anthony Lara, and promoted employee Sergeant Juan Leon, and that will be done by Police Chief Coopsie.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council, members of the community. We have an opportunity now. We haven't hired anybody for quite some time. We've had a number of employees retire in this past year, so we had to hire a couple new ones. And we have some, they went through a grueling process. Typically, when you put out new employment job applications, we get people from all over the state, including our local academy down here in Santa Maria. And this time through, we hired two employees from this. The first one I'll call up is Danny Gregory. Come on up. Danny's actually one of our locals. He grew up here and went to Royal Grande High School and completed the academy, I think, about a year ago or so, year and a half, and has been with us for a little while. But Danny will be the first one I'll swearing in. And we'll do, we've got three swearing-ins tonight. We'll have a sergeant promotion as well. The second person I'd like to call up is Tony Lara. Tony actually comes to us from Chico. He spent his life up there. His father, Jose, I think, is here. Will was a police officer up in Chico.
Repeat after me, stating your own name.
I'm Danny.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
To the Constitution of the United States.
To the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully.
And that I will well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties upon which I'm about to enter.
Discharge the duties upon which I'm about to enter.
Upstanding.
And then as tradition, we have the badge. There we go. And I think your father, Danny, I mean, Tony, your father's here, Jose, if you would come on up. Outstanding. Thank you. You can step if you want, but that's okay. No, that's it. And next, I'd like to call up Juan Leon. Yeah. He does a lot of our narcotics enforcement, field training officer. I think he started training some of these guys before he got promoted. And he's been was currently a senior officer, and now he got promoted by overwhelmingly choice by staff and the promotional process that he went. So at this time, Juan actually was promoted January 1st, and I think his wife Kim is here to pin his badge for him after we do the swearing in. So his family, yeah.
So Juan, if you raise your right hand.
The Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California. Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
To the Constitution of the United States.
To the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully.
And that I will well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties upon which I'm about to enter.
Discharge the duties upon which I'm about to enter.
Now it's time. I was just seeing if you're awake. There you go. Thank you.
And I'd just like to say that I am very proud of our police department. I'm proud that you represent us, and we very much appreciate your service. You do a great job of representing our community. Okay, we're moving on now to public communications. Any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this council. The council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, and also the chair of the Parks and Rec Commission?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Thank you.
Since you took Jeff.
Yeah. Sorry.
I would just like to say that on January, where's Nora when I need her? 25th, we're having a community volunteer from the Park and Rec Department that we're going to honor. So put it on your calendars, don't forget, and it's something about a latte. So you're invited, and
thanks a latte.
Thanks a latte. That's
thanks
right.
a latte. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Karen. I don't drink lattes, so. Anyway, put it on your calendar, don't forget, and it's a way of thanking the people that have volunteered in our community through the Park and Rec Department. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
A little info on that. You said the 25th?
Yes, ma'am.
What time?
Let's see.
And where?
6 p.m. And RSVP, please, to the Park and Rec Department.
And where will this be held?
At Trouville Center. Trouville Center. Trouville.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All righty.
Thank you, Chair. Is there anyone else who wanted to come forward for public hearings tonight? Or, sorry, for public communications? Okay, seeing none, we'll close the public communications and bring it back for public hearings. And the next item is item number 4 on our agenda. It's the recommendation to the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors to approve the reallocation of community development block grant CDBG funds from the 2011 funding cycle. And I believe that we...
Honorable Mayor, Council yes. Members, staff identified potential conflict of interest for Councilmember Molnar on this item.
Which one is this?
This is the CDBG allocation. It has to do with the one of the projects is located within 500 feet on 13th Street. Right.
Okay. I wasn't sure included that.
So now we have Janet Reese, Planner 2 from our Community Development Department.
Good evening. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development Community Development Block Grant Program authorizes the use of funds to eliminate blight and to assist low and moderate income residents. The city participated in the entitlement program through the 2011 funding cycle as part of the Urban County Consortium, but opted to participate in the non-entitlement program approved approximately $120,000 for CDBG projects to various organizations and to City Hall's architectural barrier removal project. However, two of the organizations, Mission Community Services and Exploration Station, did not spend their funds, which totaled $10,000 within the allotted time frame. Funds allocated to projects that are not spent can be reallocated to other eligible projects in order to be expended. The city currently has two active CDBG projects remaining from our last year, the Citywide Public Improvement Project and City Hall Architectural Barrier Removal Project. It's anticipated that the City Hall project has sufficient funds and will not require additional funding. Therefore, it is recommended that the City Council adopt the resolution requesting that the Board of Supervisors approve the reallocation of $10,000 to the Citywide Public Improvement Project for the removal of architectural barriers such as constructing sidewalks or ADA accessible corner ramps within the city. The funds cannot be used until the funding reallocation is approved by the board, which is anticipated late February or early March. And that concludes staff's presentation.
Thank you. Are there any questions of staff to my left?
Yep. I just had one. It's more of a probably an educational process for myself rather than more than anything else. But can you kind of give a brief history of when the city became a change from the entitlement program to the non-entitlement program, and then what the benefits of that decision was?
All right. So the last funding year we have for the entitlement program was July 2011 to June 2012. So essentially 6 months ago was the end of our term. The city opted to do that to participate in the non-entitlement program, which is basically a grant competition-based program. Those grants, you apply through the state, and should you be granted for your project, the award can be up towards $800,000 to $1 million.
So basically, it gave us an opportunity to go after additional larger sums of money.
Bigger projects for the community. As a possibility. Yeah.
Any questions to my right? No? Okay, I'm going to close the council session.
Guaranteed that amount. Obviously, with the grant approach, we're not guaranteed, but on the other side, competing successfully can yield, as Ms. Reese has indicated, a great deal more. And that's why the council chose to leave the entitlement county at the time.
Thank you. Any comments from the council? We have a motion?
I'll make a motion that we adopt the resolution requesting that the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors approve the reallocation of the 2011 CDBG program year funds to the Citywide Public Improvement Project.
I'll second that.
Can we have a roll call, please?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Could someone wave at Councilmember Molnar and let her know she can return? Thank you. Thank you. We're moving on to the consent agenda now. These are routine items, and they're scheduled for consideration as a group, with the exception of the one that we've pulled for hearing later. The recommendations are noted in parentheses on your agendas, and members of the audience may speak on any items listed on the consent agenda. Any city council member, city attorney, or city manager may also request that an item be withdrawn, and we have withdrawn item number 7 to discuss later. Withdrawn for full discussion. And that will come at the end of the items previously scheduled on our business schedule. So the consent agenda items that we are looking at this evening are the treasurer's report for the period December 12th, 2012 through January 9th, 2013, and also a request to destroy records in accordance with the adopted records retention schedule. Just checking, is there anyone from the audience who wants to speak to any of these? Okay, great. In that case, I would entertain a motion. Unless anyone up here has anything to say.
I move we accept the consent agenda, or approve the consent agenda.
With the exception of 7, I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. City Clerk, could we have A roll call, please.
Yes.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council. The city recently completed construction of the new public services counter and minor improvements to the lobby area just outside of the council chambers here. The main entry to City Hall is now located off the south parking lot, so that's the parking lot just outside these doors. The new entry location and the availability of grant funding to complete accessibility upgrades has prompted additional improvements. In addition, the south parking lot needs improvement and landscaping around City Hall needs to be completed. Funds currently budgeted for the project will only allow for minor additional improvements. Staff is recommending a minimum level of improvements consistent with previous council direction. In order to complete these improvements, a budget amendment will be necessary, and staff is requesting the City Council amend the annual appropriation resolution to add additional funding to the project. For some background, the capital improvement programs, the CIP for fiscal year 13 through 17, includes funding for City Hall improvements in fiscal year 13 in the amount of $108,236. In your staff report, there's a listing of the funding for the project, basically $25,000 in general funds for design and construction. There was a $5,000 APCD grant for the electric vehicle filling station that we already installed. We had $5,000 in water conservation funds for the landscaping, which has not been started. And we had a CDBG grant. You just spoke about some CDBG funding earlier. In the amount of $73,236, which is really restricted to ADA improvements only. So total funding, again, $108,236. And as I identified, this includes projects that were already completed, as well as a few additional projects that we're recommending this evening. Following completion of the public service counters, entry door remodels, and a few other minor improvements, there's some general funds remain and some CDBG funds remain. There's a minor error in the staff report I pointed out. Really, the amount of general funds is about $7,400 that remains. We just found that earlier today. So, at any rate, this might take a minute, but I wanted to get the...
disappeared.
It'll take a couple seconds. It'll come up, I think. I wanted to get the attachment to in your staff report up on the overhead. There we go. Let's see. I'll just have to move it around a little bit as I'm going through this. So the parking lot and sidewalk upgrades are the first recommended component of tonight's discussion. The existing south parking lot paving, sidewalk, and striping has deteriorated and has been damaged by tree roots. The ADA parking spaces outside are no longer ADA compliant. The existing sidewalk leading to the new public services counter is no longer ADA compliant. And due to limited funds, staff is only recommending spot repairs of the parking lot and restriping the parking lot spaces into a new layout. CDBG funds can be used at this time to upgrade the two ADA parking spaces to remodel the entry walkway and a portion of the entry plaza area. Again, restricted, though, to specific ADA improvements. This attachment is attachment 2 in your staff report and shows generally the parking lot layout that we're recommending. And I'll go through some of the details here with you just briefly. It's not indicated in your report, but as you can see, we added a couple parking spaces. We changed the parking lot layout to include a two-way access. So there will be two-way access both from 8th Street. 8th Street here, as well as from Rockaway here. The existing pay station that's now available on the driver's side of the car, because it's one-way exiting onto 8th Street, will be placed here in the center of the driveway to allow access both entering and exiting, but we'll probably not put, we'll only have the pay station actually on the exit side to keep people from clogging up the entry to the driveway while they're coming in. The layout shown here, spaces in the area here at the southeast corner, rather, it just, by the time you get a parking aisle into that area, you really don't develop any additional spaces, and the layout becomes much more constricted. So as you can see, there's an opportunity here for some future landscaping improvements and possibly a future monument sign located at the corner there at the southeast corner. And then one of the key features of this is that we're proposing a walkway right along the edge of City Hall that will allow you now to just basically, if you were to park out front, you could walk directly to the new entry without having to walk in a parking space or walk in the drive aisle, as a lot of people are doing now. Over here at the west side of the south parking lot is the proposed entry plaza. This is, you can see it up there. Slide over a little bit. Backwards, there we go. This is the existing entry right here, just outside the doors here is this entry right here. So the idea is to make this appear more like the main entry to City Hall. If you look back here now from 8th Street, it really is kind of disappears in that back corner. It's sort of a dark back corner, and there's no real indication that this is why you or where you should focus your attention on for City Hall. So the idea is, ideas that are being tossed around right now is to move the flagpole over to the middle of the entry area to provide some seating and some decorative concrete in this area and a couple of landscape areas. You'll see my little red lines on there showing, you know, some future, oh, actually can't see on this drawing. Showing some future landscape areas. I can show you the detail of that. And that is your attachment 3 in your staff report. There we go. Assuming these line up about the same. Again, flagpole located sort of to the center of the entry area. Some new seating, some new landscape areas. Some small tree planters can be added in here. And the idea, again, is to make this the focal entry point for City Hall and to really draw attention to that from 8th Street.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
With reference to the diagram that you have there now,
yes.
Where is the entrance to the police station?
Oh, so the entrance, this right here is the, I think I've discussed most of the details of the parking lot. The recommendation for this current project is really just spot repairs and a slurry seal of the parking lot. Estimated cost about $30,000 to do that. We did a cost estimate for completely repairing the parking lot at this time, as well as all the sidewalk around it, and that's about $80,000. We're not really recommending that at this time because of budget constraints. We're trying to be as conservative as possible right now with the existing budget. So moving from that to the discussion about the city parking lot and wayfinding sign, we're recommending construction of a wayfinding sign to be located on 8th Street near the south parking lot entrance. This will provide identity to the south parking lot and relocated entry to City Hall. Staff is recommending a simple wayfinding sign consisting of a metal pole similar to the decorative light poles located on West Grand Avenue, and a placard indicating City Hall, Police Department, and parking. The city at one time in the past did a wayfinding sign study, and I pulled out one of the signs just from that study that exemplifies generally what we're looking for here. It's just a very simple sign. It's a little hard to see, but hopefully in your staff report that's a little clearer. Just a metal pole with a placard-type sign and pretty simple wording on there. The idea is not to be a monument sign. It's just you look down from West Grand Avenue and say, City Hall. parking lot right there. So now there is an opportunity for this to lead to a future discussion about wayfinding signs citywide. It's an opportunity to see one and to see how visible it is and see what parts of it work and what parts of it don't work, whether a city logo is appropriate, you know, whether you like the pole. I don't see this being a horribly expensive item that could not in the future either be replaced or altered to match wayfinding signs throughout the city. Next recommendation is for this project is City Hall building signage. Along the wall where Councilmember Nichols was just talking about the entry to the police station, right now in fairly large letters it just says police station. The recommendation is to remove that lettering, to install new lettering sort of centered on that wall. It would be a counter to be used for self-serve public information. A computer would be installed and could include access to online bill paying, the city website, city forms, announcements, and information. The next component of the project would be tree removal and replacement. As you're aware, a lot of the damage that's occurred around the parking lot and the sidewalks and driveways around City Hall are because of the existing magnolia trees. The roots have become significantly invasive. And although they're very beautiful trees, in our estimation, there's really no way to save those trees. By the time we ground as much roots as we would have to secure the new improvements for, say, a period of 5 to 10 years, the trees wouldn't survive it. So we're recommending removal of all those trees. And then planting, the recommended tree is a Brisbane box tree. The two trees located near the police station entry, which are both actually Brisbane boxes, one of them is pretty severely stunted or perhaps diseased, and also sits right in front of what would be your new kind of main entry and City Hall signage for identification. So we're recommending those be removed and just not replaced. There's going to be enough new landscaping areas proposed in the site layout that I don't think we need trees literally right on the building there. The two existing tree wells out front would also be planted with street trees. So you'd have the same 8th Street tree in the parkway layout that you have now, which is reflected all the way down 8th Street south of us. And it would just be similar to what you see today. Additional component here is the water-conserving landscape upgrades. As you're well aware, portions of the existing landscape around City Hall either need to be planted or upgraded. There's pieces and parts of an old irrigation system that exists now. It doesn't work. Most of the watering is done by hand. Most of the plants are not drought tolerant. So we're recommending installation of a drip irrigation system and a drought tolerant demonstration garden similar to what you see at Ramona. And also, just as a note, we're excited to be the recipient of a donation in labor and materials from the Rotary Club of Five Cities Echo group. Mm-hmm. They'll be installing and paying for installing and maintaining the landscape near the police station entry. Opportunity for donations or perhaps doing some kind of a memorial garden or a plaza or something, seating area. There's a lot of opportunities there, but we're really not recommending that project at this time. Also, we could eventually install a monument sign at the southeast corner here. And there's some ideas that could be incorporate existing entry signs into the city, as well as perhaps some of the city identity and logo work that's been done. So that, again, is recommended possibly in a future phase. So with the items that I've spoke about earlier and staff is recommending for this project, it will require a budget amendment. Since City Hall provides services to water and sewer customers as well as the general public, it's appropriate to use a combination of general and enterprise funds to fund the recommended improvements. There are CDBG funds available. Staff has identified maybe about $30,000 in ADA upgrades that could be applied to those CDBG funds. The remainder of those funds, if we can't find additional ADA work at City Hall, will be transferred out to a street project, most likely the citywide CDBG upgrade, which is really sidewalks and corner ramps. The total estimated cost of staff's recommendations is $117,000. There are some funds remaining in this fiscal year 13 budget in that CIP item. So in order to fully fund the project, staff is recommending a budget amendment in the amount of about $59,000. And that would be consist of $15,000 in general fund, $22,000 from the water fund, and $22,000 from the wastewater fund. There's a number of alternatives that staff has identified. They include, one, adopt the resolution amending the annual appropriation resolution number 12-60 to allocate $59,000 to CIP number 263, the City Hall Improvements Project. Modify the proposed resolution and adopt as modified appropriating additional funding to City Hall Improvements. Or do not adopt the resolution and provide additional direction to staff. Staff's recommendation tonight is that council adopt the resolution amending the annual appropriation resolution number 12-60 to allocate. So very simply, we're talking about the parking lot and some, you know, minor parking lot improvements, sidewalk upgrades, and a reorientation and striping of the parking lot. A small wayfinding sign at the 8th Street entry to the parking lot. Just identifying this as where you go for City Hall services. The City Hall building signage, which would go up on the wall of City Hall. Public information kiosk located here in the lobby area. Tree removal and replacements around the perimeter of City Hall. Landscape upgrades. And that's it.
Okay. Why do you recommend the Brisbane box tree? I actually looked it up online, and I also talked to Cherry Tree Lane Nursery,
mm-hmm.
and went out and looked at some that are already in the city, and they actually do tear up sidewalks. My concern is, why are we spending money on a tree that is possibly going to have a problem in the future? Let us remember that we are a beach city. And I don't understand why we're not putting some palm trees in instead. Okay, it used to be Grover City. Everybody changed it to Grover Beach. So why don't we...
Councilmember Molnar, if you've got opinions, let's do that at the end. Let's, at this point, just stick to questions.
Well, this is part of my question. So who made the choice for the Brisbane box tree?
So basically, there are some tree recommendations currently included in the zoning code. And in this area of town, currently the recommended tree is the Brisbane box tree. To comment sort of on the issue of trees or the Brisbane box causing root damage, it's one of the better trees in terms of not causing root damage. Basically, I've done a ton of research looking into street trees and trying to find that perfect street tree that both survives the coastal environment, requires very little water, has nice growth rate and beautiful foliage year-round, doesn't drop a lot of things on the sidewalk, and does no damage. And the bottom line is, there's no perfect street tree. There really isn't. Every single street tree has the potential to do sidewalk damage. The trick is how you plant them and how you water them. The basic concept is you have to use a root barrier.
Better use of our funds if we held back on some of the landscaping and certain things. And
can we take that at the end, Councilmember Molnar? If you have questions.
This is, excuse me, this is a question.
Okay, thank you.
Please do not interrupt me anymore.
Maybe hear your question.
What I want to know is how much we are paying for the parking lot improvement right now based upon what you have presented with us, as opposed to the $80,000. What is it going to cost for the minor improvements that we're doing?
Good question. About 30 is the estimate.
Okay. And the whole thing would be $80,000 to fix it completely. All right, thank you. That was my question.
Thank you, Councilmember Molnar. Did you have questions, Councilmember Lee?
I do. Yep. Just a couple questions. First of all, wanted to make sure that the police chief had an opportunity to review this layout previously. I'm assuming that he did and that they're okay with the layout because obviously they're going to have quite a bit of interaction with the new parking lot. So just wanted to confirm that they've had an opportunity to do that.
Indeed. And some of the ideas that I spoke to the chief about, actually Bruce and I spoke to the chief about in terms of layout, the wide aisle, which allows for larger vehicles to access the parking spaces, and two parking spaces in the layout dedicated just to the police department. So, again, it's a parking lot layout. It's some compromises, but I think we captured most of our goals in this layout.
And then, Madam Mayor, if I could, I would just like, with whatever direction we're provided, that we have a little bit of flexibility provided to ensure that it's going to work for all departments.
Thank you.
One other, two more questions. The accessible parking stall, is that a van accessible stall or?
Definitely has to be van accessible.
Okay, gotcha. And then one last question is for the payment kiosk. Since it's going to be in the center of the aisle, we are going to protect that from vehicular attacks.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, it's going to have pretty significant bollards, right. I think, on either side of it to protect it.
Okay.
Thank you. Any questions to my right? Mayor Pro Tem Bryce?
Yes, please. I have a couple at this time. Why is it that you think that we couldn't reutilize those or repurpose them?
Well, one is fairly diseased, unfortunately. It's in pretty bad shape, and it's the one closest to the City Hall entry, I believe. That one would sit literally in front of City Hall and the city logo. So you have a sort of a diseased tree, and that's what you want everybody to look at. So, again, just because it's diseased probably should be removed, but also because it really conflicts with what you're trying to show the public, and that is this is the city of Grover Beach and City Hall.
I understand you want to remove it, but I'm saying you're talking about removing two of those Brisbane box trees, but also installing other Brisbane box trees elsewhere.
Right.
So what I'm talking about is why not take the two that you're removing and putting them where you were talking about installing new ones. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. I appreciate that. I believe it would be considerably more expensive.
To take them out and put them rather than installing new ones?
Yeah, considerably more expensive.
Okay. So then how would we ensure that the new ones we put in don't become diseased and whatever else has happened to these two that we wouldn't want to repurpose?
Great question. Again, that comes back to the planting. We have a really good set of planting specs now for street trees. It's something that in the future we'll be adopting into our standard plans and specs is my idea. And it talks about the required soil amendments, the required fertilizer, the root barriers, the deep watering system, and we'll have automated watering on these trees so that we can follow the arborist recommendations in terms of watering them while they're young, watering them during summer and winter periods, and then gradually letting them harden off to requiring little or no water.
So how long would you say that these trees have been here, the two that you want to remove?
Like I can years only guess. Maybe years. 20 years.
I see. Yeah. So they weren't properly planted and installed in the first place?
No, if you look at all the trees, including those two around City Hall, they have shallow roots. They're reaching out through under the asphalt and the concrete for water.
Mm-hmm.
They're lifting the asphalt and the concrete. There's no deep watering system, and there's no root barriers, and not sure how they were watered. But they don't, at least the Brisbane.
The asphalt's in pretty bad shape, wouldn't you say?
It's pretty rough. We're proposing spot repairs to the worst parts of the existing asphalt, and then it would get a slurry seal over the top of that, which would help to seal in some of that.
So the spot repairs would have a slurry seal?
The whole thing would get slurry sealed. Yeah, so spot repairs in the parking lot, a slurry seal of the whole parking lot, and then we could restripe it. It would be, you know, nice, even, uniform black color. But the slurry seal is definitely not the perfect Band-Aid for that parking lot. It 5 years would be a probably a pretty good estimate.
Okay. Now, the public information kiosk, have we had people asking for that, do you know? Is that something that the public has been looking for, or?
I don't know. I don't.
Madam Mayor, if I could, that was actually at my suggestion. A lot of times we get requests for public documents, and rather than having the individuals as they come in have to go to the clerk's office, and it was my belief that we had a public computer list out here at the hall. People could take their time, look up the documents they need right off the website, and request copies as needed. So it was a suggestion that I essentially made to try and improve public service.
So may I continue?
Sure.
So then would we have a printer available? So would they get copies printed?
They would have to identify the copies once they in, and then we would have them printed for them.
I see. Oh, I see. Okay. Okay. Well, I think those are my questions. Thank you.
Thanks. Councilmember Nichols, other questions? One more question.
Sorry, I apologize for that. Just had one more question. If we were to approve this evening, obviously there's a budget amendment of $59,000. What projects might not get funded, or which could be delayed as a result of this budget amendment?
I'm not aware of any projects being either unfunded or delayed. We do pretty conservative budgeting, and we're in January, approaching the end of January here in the fiscal year. These are, I wouldn't call them excess funds, but I think we have sufficient funds available.
I'd like to know how much, since I didn't have this opportunity before, and I don't see it anywhere in here, how much is the information kiosk? I don't see that breakdown.
We estimated as much as $8,000, but, in looking at that, turns out a lot of that cost was placing a new computer there and the monitor and the wiring necessary. We'd still have to do the wiring, but I understand now that we may be able to repurpose an existing computer for that, so we can save a couple thousand there. And I'm thinking it may come in well under that estimate. These are very conservative estimates because this is sort of we didn't go into that detail and get price quotes on this.
Okay. It just seems to me that it would be much better to properly do the parking lot. We could forego the information kiosk at this time. We could also forego a bunch of the landscaping at this time and really put the money into the parking lot so that we have something that lasts for the future. I don't think looking at 5 years is a very good way to spend the money. And I also really argue with you about the Brisbane box trees. But I think we should take a look at this and do it sensibly from the beginning. I don't know if anyone else agrees with me, but if we're going to pull out money, I don't believe in pulling out money for an information kiosk or for landscaping at this time. You do have a lot of groups such as the Eco Rotary that are quite willing to volunteer and to donate plants. I'm sure you could find somebody. I know Parks and Recs have talked about an adopt-a-park program. How about adopt the landscaping for the city? Don't spend the money that we have very little of on things that we don't need to at this time. Do things that are more sensible, that are going to be better for us. I mean, sure, we're fixing it, but, you're still going to have somebody who might, if you don't fix it properly, somebody can get hurt out there, and then you have a bigger problem. So I actually, right now, could not vote for this the way it is. I really think we need to look at fixing the parking lot completely. If we're going to touch it, we do it right.
Thank you, Councilmember Molnar.
Mayor Peterson, could I add something just to maybe for clarification? Most of the landscaping, if you exclude the trees from that discussion, It's because we're proposing a demonstration garden, a water-conserving demonstration garden here. The landscaping would be funded with water conservation funds. So we're not really looking appropriate to correctly do the entire parking lot improvements. The trees are gone. They're dead.
I agree. You have to remove the trees.
So the trees would have to at least come out. Maybe we don't replant. I don't know. Option maybe be not to replant them, but just to remind you, those trees would have to come out to do it correctly.
I understand that point. Okay.
So I wonder if you could just clarify. You're saying that the funds that are being used for the kiosk, the inside kiosk, the computer station, those couldn't be transferred to the parking lot? They're from a different fund?
I didn't say the kiosk, just the landscaping.
Oh, just the landscaping.
Yeah. The kiosk, I believe, could be.
Okay. I'm going to steal the floor for a second here and see if we can understand that just a little bit further. So if we did not do the info kiosk, we'd have an additional $8,000 that could be used. Am I getting this wrong? That $8,000 could be used on the parking lot?
I believe it could be.
Okay.
Yes.
And what would that buy us in terms of improving the parking lot?
$8,000 more in spot repairs.
Okay.
The total estimate for the parking lot and all of the sidewalk around City Hall. And the estimate we gave you for $30,000 includes spot repairs on the sidewalk, a couple spot repairs in the parking lot, and then just a slurry and restripe. For $80,000, you could replace all the sidewalk and all the parking lot asphalt. Anywhere between the 80 and 30, you're just looking at picking up additional small pieces as you go.
So we're currently allocating 50 something thousand dollars. Oh no, 108,000. I guess I'm trying to work out to aid with our discussion if following on from Councilmember Molnar's suggestion, if the funds could actually be worked in such a way taken from one thing or another and used to do that sidewalk repair that she's suggesting, a sidewalk and parking lot repair.
I'm looking at a spreadsheet that you don't have in front of you, and this again will take a second, but this should pop up. Oh, only a second. So this is some background information I used in putting together the staff report that's before you. This is kind of how I go about trying to figure out how much things are going to cost and what funds, $30,000 coming from the various sources here. We have the sidewalk and entry plaza. We're requesting $3,000 in general funds. And then, again, CDBG funds can't be used for anything but ADA. So $6,000 in water funds and $6,000 in sewer funds. So you're looking at $15,000 there that could be. If you didn't do the entry plaza, any upgrades to the entry plaza, moving the flagpole, you know, kind of doing the decorative concrete in that area, there's $15,000. If you did not do the wayfinding sign, there's $5,000. If you did not do the building sign, there's another $10,000. So, you know, rapidly approaching $80,000 from the $30,000 if we start removing these components.
The kiosk was $8,000.
Kiosk is $8,000 and it's recommended for general fund. I'm trying to follow along here. It's very small. General fund, yeah, so $8,000, yeah, it would be eligible. It's general water and sewer funds.
So right now you've identified $38,000, and then we've got how much already identified for repairing the parking lot or for working on it?
Well, with existing and the budget request, we really have $30,000. So
are you saying that would give us $68,000 then?
$68,000.
Okay, and it would take $80,000, so we'd need to find another $12,000 from somewhere to do really pretty much just the parking lot.
Yeah, and then you'd really just be doing the parking lot and the sidewalks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some minor ADA upgrades. You know, we would would continue. We'd do some kind of a modification to the existing entry here to make it ADA accessible, and we would do the ADA corner ramp, and the two driveways would have the ADA walk around, you know, behind them, so you don't have to walk on the driveway ramp. So that stuff would come out of CDBG funds and would continue to be part of the project.
And we have how much in CDBG funds that we can allocate?
We have $73,000. My estimate is you're going to be able to use about 30 of it. And the rest is going to need to be transferred off to the citywide project.
So that would give us enough. That would give us $98,000. Would give us more than enough for the parking lot and a little more.
Again, the CDBG funds aren't included in that.
They're not.
$80,000, okay. and they're not a part of that. They really can't.
ADA?
No.
Expenditure? No,
That's
not.
Just okay. Repairing all right. The asphalt okay.
And the sidewalk.
Sidewalk, right.
But not the ADA.
Correct.
All right. Okay, well, we've got a little more information there. Did you have questions, Councilmember Nichols? Mayor Pro Tem Bart? Not questions, conversation. I'm sorry. We're off questions now.
Yes. I did have one other question, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure.
If you would allow me that. And it was regarding the wayfinding sign. I was wondering, since it's a wayfinding sign, but it's right in front of the parking lot, it would seem to me that a wayfinding sign wouldn't we want it to be out like on Grand Avenue so that people would know where to go?
Yeah, and that's a much bigger discussion. You know, at some point in time, you would want wayfinding signs throughout the city. The idea here is this is sort of, you had to have already got here. You had to have already made it here. And that's a good point, but you know, trying to, again, constrain the budget for this project as much as possible, we're just recommending the one sign for now. As the city and council and staff move toward a citywide wayfinding sign program, deciding what those signs should look like, you know, what should be on them, where we want them, that's a much bigger discussion. It's been pretty challenging, I believe, in the past to reach a conclusion on. So
it has. I'm just thinking, we're talking like $5,000 for a sign when you're already at the parking lot. So, so if we're talking about comments, I am concerned about spending $30,000 on a parking lot that we're talking about 5 years. I mean, longevity. So, I think that I would really want to talk about something that's going to last. We don't have a whole lot of money to spend, and I'd like to see it. I'd like to see our funds really work for the long run. That's my opinion. I think we could do without a public information kiosk at this point in time. I think it's a great idea, but I think that is something that is more of a frill. And when we have the money, that would be great. Same thing with the wayfinding sign and these other signs. I think it would be great, but I think we need to start from the ground up, and I think we need to do it right from the beginning. And so if we're going to spend the money, I agree we need to do it right from the start. So that's kind of where I'm thinking.
Thank you. And Councilmember Lee, you had another comment?
Yeah, kind of trying to follow the bouncing dollar sign as we move through this. And I think it may wrap around somehow to what both Councilmember Molnar and Councilmember Bright, or Mayor Pro Tem Bright were saying, is we start with $30,000, correct?
On the left side of this, and I don't know how well you can see that. It probably could be a lot larger. But on the, you know, just going through one project component at a time and looking really for parking lot improvements, of the funding identified, you could really use proposed and existing general fund, water enterprise funds, and sewer enterprise funds. So I'm going to do the math here in my head as we go, but again, if you looked at the wayfinding sign is $5,000, and that's the appropriate funding sources. The building sign is $10,000, so if we didn't update the building signs, that adds 10 more. That's done. If we don't replace the trees, maybe we could split that in half. So say another 3,000. And if we don't do the kiosk, there it is, another 8,000. So I didn't add those together as we went along. But
let me, I got lost at the beginning, but we have Plaza 15, Wayfinding 5, Building Signs 10, Non-Replacement of Trees 3, and Kiosk 8. Is that mm-hmm. right? So that takes us to 41,000 there. Plus we had an additional 30,000. Takes us to 71, so we're short 9.
Madam Mayor, mm-hmm. I've got a solution for you.
Oh, good.
I can gather from the discussion at the council level is the consensus is that you want the parking lot fixed.
I'd like to ask the council fixed. If that's the consensus. Is that consensus? I know Council Member Molnar, yes?
Yes. Council Member Bright, that's your thought?
Well, yes. I mean, mm-hmm. Rather than spending $30,000 to just pretty it up, yes. I mean, yes.
Sorry, Council Member Nichols.
I'm not sure until I hear the final results here which way I want to go on that. I know the parking lot needs to be redone, but at what expense, what other things are we going to lose if we do the parking lot? That's okay. My concern.
Okay.
And I'm leaning towards improving the parking lot as well with the potential, I'll throw in here as well, that if we didn't do the street trees at this point and gave the focus to the demonstration garden that the Echo Rotary Club is going to be putting forth at the corner, perhaps street trees become a
funding regimen for the parking lot and represent that recommendation at the next council meeting. And then...
Okay, that sounds good. And before we do that, I'd like to just throw in a couple of things. I think, especially because Eco Rotary is involved, I would, and I don't know if they would agree, it would be worth asking them, but I would really love to see us look at possibly using native grower beech plants. I've been very keen on doing that with the hotel because when we're using native plants to grow over, and I don't mean just drought resistant, drought tolerant, or Mediterranean, but native to grow over, then that attracts native insects, it attracts then native birds. And it really sends a message that that's really what we're looking at doing. And I would love to see the city, we've done our demonstration garden, but I'd love to see us do it really with Grover Beach native plants. And so obviously it sounds like that's not where we're headed this time, but I wanted to put a plug in there. And I'd like to also have a little information on whether or not the Brisbane box trees are native to this area, or they sound Australian to me. Same temp.
Not native.
Same Mediterranean climate, but okay. Well, if you could answer that, come back to us on that.
I can answer the Brisbane box.
Oh, you can.
They're
answer.
Not native.
Oh, they're not.
No.
Okay. Okay. No, they're kind of like that eucalyptus. Okay. All right. Is there any more discussion before
if I might say, I think though that we should. I'd like to see the discussion about taking out the trees that you think that are in the way of that are oh help me here
that are,
yeah.
that are
ruining
causing
the sidewalks.
Damage
they're doing damage and that also that are blocking the entryway to access to the doorways and so on. Because there's no sense in them being there, I guess, if they're, you know, they may as well go.
Thank you. And I had one more comment on all of this, which I've now lost. Oh, that's what it was. I think it's been mentioned a couple of times that we may have some of these projects.
One last mm-hmm. comment, if I could, on that. Do we need to provide direction to staff as to what we, I mean, do we have consensus that we want to have the City Hall signage included as part of that, or we just seem to be focused on the parking lot?
If I could, I think what we would do is the general direction is to the priority is going to be the parking lot. And what we will do is also include along with that what other takeaways are necessary to accomplish that. And great. You'd have then the opportunity to add something back in if you so desire.
Thank you very much. So I think we're finished with that agenda item. Let's move on now to, let's see, we continued the discussion to a later time regarding Measure I-12, so now we are back onto the pulled consent agenda items, and that would be item number 7, authorization to enter into an agreement with the Wallace Group for Professional Services associated with the West Grand Avenue Enhancement Project Phase 2, and again we have Mr. Ray.
Excuse me, before we begin, I would like to bring up my concern of a potential conflict. I know for years that Councilmember Nichols has been our representative on the Sanitation District and has worked closely with Mr. Wallace, and I wonder if that in itself is a conflict.
That's something I'd need to refer to the city attorney.
Thank you. Honorable Mayor, council members, that in and of itself does not constitute a conflict. Should Councilmember Nichols feel that any prior relationship with Mr. Wallace, whatever that was, prevent him from being able to fairly sit on this item, then that would be his choice to recuse himself, but it wouldn't be due to any actual conflict of interest.
Thank you. So, Mr. Ray.
Thank you, Mayor, and Honorable Mayor and Council. On October 1st, 2012, the Council awarded a contract to Brough Construction Incorporated to construct improvements associated with the West Grand Avenue Enhancement Project Phase 2. The improvements consist of street enhancements in the downtown core between 8th and 11th Street, and that includes landscape medians, decorative crosswalks, accessible corner ramps, decorative concrete intersections, lighting, and irrigation for the newly landscaped areas. In December, the Public Works Department advertised for proposals for construction phase engineering, and that includes selection committee. We reviewed the proposals and we selected the Wallace Group as the best candidate. Once Wallace Group was selected, staff went back and looked at the cost estimates and our estimates of all four firms, as well as my own personal judgment related to how many hours should be spent on this project in inspection services and in other components of that, and went back to the Wallace Group and negotiated a final fee, and this again is in compliance with the state law for projects such as this. So construction of the Phase 2 of the West Grand Avenue Enhancement Project is about to begin. Attached to your staff report as attachment 2 is the Wallace Group's submitted scope of work and payment schedule in a total amount of $104,399 for professional services. According to the payment schedule, construction management and related services are expected to cost approximately $74,000. Staking would be provided for an additional $15,200, and materials testing for about $14,200, with some minor indirect costs. The budget that council provided for this phase of the work was $93,800. As a result, we'd be about $10,600 over the originally approved budget. It's my opinion that this project should be fairly straightforward, and so I believe the contingency funds will have a sufficient balance to fund the $10,600 overage in the budget line item here. Staff is offered council following alternatives to consider, and that includes adopting a resolution authorizing the city to enter into a professional services agreement with the Wallace Group, to provide direction to staff to seek the services of other engineering firms to provide the construction engineering materials testing and construction survey services recommended, or simply to provide staff with additional direction. The recommendation is that Council 1 adopt the resolution authorizing the city to enter into a professional services agreement with the Wallace Group for construction engineering, materials testing, and construction survey services associated with the West Grand Avenue Enhancement Project Phase 2, and 2, to authorize the mayor to execute the agreement on behalf of the city. And that concludes my presentation. Administrative Services Director Bruce Buckingham, your community development director, Lynn Pearson, who works in my department and mm-hmm. basically handles project administration, and then John Barkley, who is the Public Works Superintendent.
Thank you.
Did I get all clapped?
Yeah. That was my question. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. All righty. How about Councilmember Lee?
I do have a couple questions. Thank you. In the Wallace proposal, there was a couple of add alternatives, one of which was restaking contingency and so forth, that the items weren't included. Obviously, having a little bit of construction background, stakes get damaged and so forth for whatever reason. Is the contractor aware that if it's their fault, not this is a question not the Wallace group, but is the contractor aware that if restaking is required at their responsibility, that they're going to cover that cost?
Yeah,
is that in their contract?
In fact, all the items listed as their alternates are the requirement for the contractor to fund. Okay. He has to protect the monuments in place, and if he damages staking also, any of those things are at contractor's cost.
Okay. One other question I had for you was the gentleman or the group who was kind of selected or chosen from the Wallace group to be the representatives in the field, is there a understanding that that person or people can't be changed without our approval? So that we know that we're going to get consistency throughout the course of that construction management inspection?
Yes. As well as one of the criteria in selecting the consultant was that they have highly skilled backup staff if for some reason that person simply could not perform the duties, you know, an injury or something other, you know, maybe didn't work for that firm anymore or something like that. So that was one of the scoring criteria, was that the next person in line have a high level of competency.
Okay. And just one last question was, and I apologize, I'll probably butcher the contractor's name, but is the Wallace Group and their representatives familiar with Borough Construction? And is it have they reviewed them in the past or done projects with them in the past?
I'm certain they have.
Okay. That's all I had for the moment.
Councilmember Molnar?
My question is, why is this coming to us?
Fairly limited staff here. We're working pretty hard to get the project out to bid and to construction and dealing with the grant funding requirements up to that date. Basically, I had to completely write a new RFP request for proposal template and then specialize it for this project in particular, such that I thought we would get adequate review of the consultant's qualifications, as well as be able to really specify what we're looking for and what kind of control we want over the project. So a little bit of time associated with that, and then the advertising time. And then, unfortunately, we missed. There was a couple of council meetings where they didn't have council meetings, so we didn't have the opportunity to come back to you immediately.
All right. Also, I misunderstand in this particular proposal. I thought we were always supposed to go with the lowest bidder.
That's a great question. So, on any direct contract services, for example, construction, building, repair, you name it. Yeah, we're required to go with the lowest bidder. State law does not allow us, though, to even look at the prices initially on consultant services contracts. Consultant services contracts are reviewed and awarded almost entirely on experience, expertise, quality of the proposal, and quality of the people who are going to do the work. So the cost is really a negotiated item that comes at the end of the selection process.
So then you're saying that these particular amounts here listed for each of these organizations, you got afterwards, after you had chosen Wallace?
They come with the proposals. In a lot of cases, they're actually submitted separately. And so you review the qualification support part of the proposal. You make your final selection. And then you open the cost proposals. And you look at those cost proposals to see if they're reasonable. If one is extremely out of line, for example, you might disqualify that firm because they're just so far out of line. But in this case, we did collect them together, but we did not look at the cost during the selection process.
Okay. Though I see Wallace negotiated is different than Wallace originally.
That's correct.
Okay. So that was the second highest bid?
Initially, yes.
Yes, it was. And so you couldn't have changed and decided to go with someone else based upon cost?
No. The selection process is based...
Because obviously construction is slated to start.
Construction's imminent,
tomorrow.
Yeah. So what would happen? Well, first of all, I would have to take on the role at least until we could get the next firm in line. First, you know, immediately we'd begin negotiation with them in terms of price and a contract and go through that process. I would take on the role of resident engineer and construction inspector, or we could possibly hire someone part-time to take that role immediately. Soils would be covered. So we would have to we'd have to hire a survey firm to do construction staking outside of this contract, which means we'd have to pull that out of the next highest firm's or next qualified firm's contract, because construction staking is the very next thing that needs to happen. So possibly a small project delay of maybe a week or so, and really about 100% of my time for the next maybe 3-4 weeks.
So we couldn't do this in-house, is that what you're saying?
Oh, no. No way possible. Well, if I could spend 100% of my time on this project, yes, we could do it in-house.
All right.
So I had a few questions as well. Our total budget for the total project, where are we on that? I know we're 10 over on this. Where were we with the other parts of the project with
about construction? About $7,000 under.
Okay, so we're short about $3,000 on the total project.
We actually have about $3,000 excess. We came under, for the total project, looking at all the components put together, assuming we could just sort of move funds around as needed,
right,
we're about $6,000 or $7,000 under budget.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, just this component's a little higher, and some of the others are a little lower.
Okay, all right, that's mm-hmm. encouraging. And my question is, well, two questions. First of all, what provisions do we have for extra charges for unforeseen events? And do we have any provision for extra charges for extra work? Is there any way that we can cap that or refuse that, or what happens there?
We have a contingency fund built into the project, and that's what I'm recommending.
Is that in here somewhere?
Yes. The contingency fund is about $75,000. I have an assistant resident engineer there that understands construction and can monitor the details of what's taking place as something unexpected is discovered. And then you need a good resident engineer behind that person to manage that process and determine what the best approach is. Ultimately, it comes to me for a final decision and budgeting. And you know, that can be a negotiated cost, it can be a fixed cost, or it can be a time and materials contract. But
is there any way of having any control? I know you've negotiated them down from $112,000 to $104,000, so you've knocked $8,000 off the cost there. Is there any way to have any control over those things not happening?
Yes.
With this? Okay. How does that happen?
That's really my job.
Okay.
My job is to carefully watch the consultant's budget expenditures as the project moves along. We know how many days are allotted to this project. We have a pretty good, based just on past project experience, a pretty good idea of how many days after the construction work is done that we'll continue using some consultant services to finalize the project itself. So I just basically watch the expenditure versus the amount of contract days that have moved along, and we look for unexpected trends. If the trend is looking like we're going to exceed the budget, then we immediately begin discussion of how we can start reducing their hours, basically. And there's plenty of ways to do that. We're already talking to just the negotiation we made is a discussion about moving from full-time inspection to really part-time inspection and reducing some of their components of their work. So.
And then the next question, you possibly have answered to some extent, but is there any other alternative way of doing this? Say, perhaps hiring a temporary Greg Ray, so that Greg Ray doesn't have to do it full time. And then perhaps, as you mentioned, hiring a survey. Have you looked at and costed out alternative methods of dealing with this? If we were to decide tonight not to use any of these?
Not really per se. I mean, certainly contemplated a little bit, but not really looked at what that might cost. If you're trying to hire some kind of a temporary employee or something to do this, I'm not aware of really that kind of skill set being available out there. So you're really looking to a consultant anyway, and you'd be negotiating a contract. And the important thing to remember is this is a federally grant-funded project. They stipulate that this is the process we use.
Okay.
To
Lee, perhaps we have some representatives from the Wallace Group. Is that right? Yes. So I'll open it for public communication now. If you'd like to come forward and give us your names. Did you have anything you wanted to say or address?
We were here in case there were any further questions by the council.
Okay. Does the council have questions?
I do, actually.
Would you like to come forward then? Thanks. Tell us your name, please, too, so we've got that for the record.
My name is Dacey Morgan. I'm the Director of Construction Management Services for the Wallace Group in San Luis Obispo.
Okay. This is going to be an insulting question, but what guarantees that this work is going to be done based upon all the allegations lately that have gone against the Wallace Group with the Sanitation District and Mr. Wallace himself? That is my biggest concern, is who is going to make sure the work is done and is done properly?
Mayor Peterson, Councilmember Molnar, we need to kind of separate South County and those folks at Wallace Group that maybe have questions about with the construction management group of Wallace Group. Myself and my team do not currently work on South County issues. We don't work on the operations of the plant. We don't work in the assessment. The team is run by me. I've never had any interaction with South County. Our team is a strong and ethical group. We take a lot of pride in our work. We are members of this community. In particular, Mr. Pavlich, sitting behind me, is from the Arroyo Grande area. This, to him, is a hometown project. That is probably the biggest guarantee. He wants to see it done correctly. With the federal funding, we're all under a tremendous amount of scrutiny from Caltrans, including Mr. Ray. They will be the watchdogs out here. They have turned up the heat on everyone. And like I said, our team of construction management folks, in my opinion, is top notch. This is not something that we do once in a while. This is our livelihood. This means the world to us. We take it very seriously. And we want to make sure that you and your residents get the best product you can for your money. We understand that funding is short, and that you don't have the money that you need to get everything done. So when you put forth money into your community, we want to make sure that you are getting the best product. And we will be out there making sure that the contractor puts the right materials in. And
okay, that was all I had. Thank you very much.
Will you give us proof of that?
We certainly can, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good question. Anybody else from the public that would like to come forward and comment? Nope. Okay, we'll bring it back to the council for some discussion now. And Councilmember Molnar, did you want to start?
It's too bad that they can't stay within what we already have budgeted. That would be nice, since this project has gone completely over budget and has used up funds that I really don't think should have been used in the first place, the gas tax funds. I really appreciate what you had to say. I still have a little bit of a difficult time with the whole trust with the Wallace Group. But basically, I just hope that this is done in a timely manner and that all works out well.
Any other comments, Jeff? No? Up at this end? No? Okay. And I've asked all my questions. This has created a big dilemma for me personally, because I am on the South Sand Board, and there are things that I have concerns about. And so I've had to really think long and hard about this decision. I know that Greg Ray's expertise is in construction. He's very experienced and talented to that end. I've had nothing but good reports about the construction division. And the alternative, I think, is to delay a project, which would cause, I believe, do harm to our businesses along Grand Avenue. And we certainly don't want to see the project going into the summer, so I don't think we can afford to delay. We can't predict weather. So based on that and based on the fact that it is, we're still under budget for the total project, and based on the assurances we've had tonight, I would say if it were my money and it were my company, I might make the choice to spend more money and do it differently. It's not my money and it's not my company. It's the money that belongs to the residents of our city and the ratepayers of our city. So this is a completely separate department, I know, from the one which has attracted some public concern. So that being the case, I am prepared to have a go at this. If it doesn't go well, I probably will never do it again. But I will take that risk in this case, and I would be willing to support this. So could we...
In the middle. Can I do both of these at the same time?
Well,
okay, thank you.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Can I interrupt while you're doing that? There had been a suggestion that we require E&O insurance, proof of E&O insurance. Is that something that we could add into this motion? I mean, is it that we could do that? Okay, so I don't know if you want to do that. But,
okay. We will get proof of...
It's general. Okay. I'm sure it'd be part of the contract, but I can add that. I'll add that along
with
this.
Is it part of the contract? Okay, then you don't need to add it if it's part of the contract.
All right.
Thank you.
And two, authorize the mayor to execute the agreement on behalf of the city.
I'll second that.
I believe this is going to be a roll call. Is that right? Could we have the roll call, please?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yes. All right. I'm making some headway here with this. So our next item on the agenda is council committee reports. And it looks like Mayor Pro Tem Bright is first in line.
Oh, boy. Well, I had just one, and that was the Housing Trust Fund. And I'll be very brief here because I know we're getting on. I just had a couple of things that I just kind of wanted to mention. There wasn't a whole lot going on. We don't have, in Grover Beach, not a whole lot of projects that seem to qualify for some reason or another. I'm not quite sure. Councilmember Molnar, I'd like to ask you, I know you weren't at the October or the November meeting, but when I read the minutes from the October meeting, there was reference to Green Park in Grover, a project called Green Park.
It's the one over there that 16th and Farrell, the gentleman who we all...
Bischoff.
Yes, correct.
Right.
Okay. And there had been rumors that that project was going to be coming back because the property was going to be sold or it was being remanaged. And that was the last that I heard. And that the Housing Trust had voted not to support it because it was not falling within the realm of low-income housing. It was more moderate-income housing, and that was not part of the mission statement.
Oh, okay. Housing Programs Manager. Then the county of San Luis has a Planner 3, their Housing and Economic Development. And what I find interesting about this is that they bring projects to the table. They, particularly the Morgan from the county and Tyler Corey from the city, they actually have these, they review these projects and actually bring them to the Housing Trust table and say, you know, this looks like a good project, something that I think, you know, can really work. I don't have that expertise. Now, I'm not saying that we have the staff to do that, but I think that we are lacking there, and that's I think maybe one of the reasons why we had this whole list of projects that had gone before and had been successful with the Housing Trust Fund, and I didn't see one from Rover Beach. So I just think that that's kind of very telling. So I don't know how we might be able to rectify that. Maybe somehow I can become informed about projects that are coming before our development department or something. I just don't know.
I think I appreciate your diligence on that. And I think perhaps it would be an idea. We've had discussions on and off about various aspects of committee assignments. And if the council is in agreement, perhaps we ought to agendize a discussion about committee assignments that would include reporting, representation, and attendance. Are you all good with that? So okay. let's agendize that for some later date.
Madam Mayor. If I could, a couple of things. Regarding the Housing Trust Fund, that was actually a previous council decision as to who was going to represent the city. And that was a council decision made several years ago, and they've just continued forward with it. It's nothing to say that the council can't determine that, you know, staff might more appropriately fill that role. That's part of the discussion that you may want to have.
That's my thought, yeah.
In terms of committee assignments, I also want to make you aware that Councilmember Molnar has indicated that she has some schedule conflicts with her current committee assignments. So,
Mayor Pro Tem Bright was going to be able to attend that as my alternate. And then the IWMA meeting this month has been canceled and moved to March. And then just an upcoming Chamber of Commerce event on the 31st for their installation dinner.
So. Thank you.
And then I did attend the South County Sand District meeting as just informational purposes as the alternate. So I was not a voting member at that point. So just in the audience.
Thank you. Are you able to cover for that?
I'm going to do my best.
Okay. Thank you. That's all you can do.
And just a quick note for that. If we let Lauren Tognazzini know from the VCB, you will have a parking pass waiting for you at the Performing Arts Center.
Well, I'll get the information. I know that Donna has gathered it for me, so I'll pull it from my mailbox. And so as soon as I can get my calendar together, I will let them know tomorrow for sure.
Thank you. And Councilmember Molnar, did you have anything to report?
Unfortunately, I could not make it to the last RAC because I had a problem because I do payroll for 52 people twice a month, and that was on payroll day. There was no way that I could have done it. I will be attending the HSOC, or whatever you want to call it, Wednesday. I will be doing that. Also, Councilmember Nichols, I'm available as alternate for SCAT. I always used to go to them anyway when I was the alternate, you know, for the mayor. So I will also be there on Wednesday. Other than that, everything's fine.
And were you able to speak with Councilmember or Mayor Pro Tem Bright as your alternative, so that she could cover for you for the RAC?
Oh, for the RAC. At the time. Were you sick or you were not available at the time? That was last, that was the first. It was actually January 2nd, which was a really difficult day. But I think at the time, Donna had checked with you and you were not available either. And it's good, we will be discussing these in the future because, as I had mentioned to the city manager before, the RAC has changed in some of its elements with the IRWM portion, which really should be done, represented by someone with technical experience from the city as opposed to just a council member, because that's what it has changed into. And those meet at...
The Economic Vitality Corporation... has not had a meeting since I've been assigned. Well, they had a Christmas party, which I did attend, but no actual meeting. And SLOCOG, the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, met last week. And their biggest issue was the new 25-mile seal north of Cambria. And it's Highway 1. It's a federally designated scenic highway, and it's an extremely popular bike route. And they have, and I will pass this around so you can see it, at the COG we had visits from multiple bicyclists who were saying to us that this particular, what is that called again?
Chip seal.
Sorry, that particular chip seal, I believe, is a 5/8, and it just wreaks havoc on bikes. So the folks who did the work on the roads have agreed to take a look at it and see if they can improve it. And the reason I brought this with me, and we'll pass it over to staff, is I want to make sure that we don't ever end up making the same mistake or having Caltrans come and make the same mistake on our roads. So hopefully we've learned from a mistake there and can work with a smaller size. So wanted to pass that bit of information along. We were fortunate in that our neighbor, Mayor Shelley Higginbotham of Pismo Beach, was elected as the vice president of the SLO COG, and Frank Meacham was elected president. And let's see. I think that's all I had on SLO COG. Yes, that was all for them. And then the South SLO County Sanitation District, I've had a couple of meetings, I believe, since we last met, and I did ask them if they would agendize a couple of matters that had been recommended in a peer review and also in the grand jury report, that we agendize a discussion about hiring a forensic auditor, and also that we agendize the same discussion to discuss experts to review the organization from the board down, and we will be doing that on the meeting of February 6th. They have had an additional notice of violation based on a study that was done or a review that was done back in March. And City Council member items?
I do.
Okay. Jeff, you kind of motioned first.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Council member, legal first.
It was just, I was going to say, it was I had an opportunity to attend the Coastal Commission meeting last Thursday where project proponents for the Grover Beach Lodge did a great job of speaking in front of the commission and making a very strong presence, I believe, for their future consideration of the Grover Beach Lodge and Convention Center. And then also I got a chance to attend the evening social gathering and got a chance to meet some of the commissioners and to meet some of the local representatives as well. So I think it was well put on by the city of Pismo Beach, and hopefully it made some inroads with the commission.
Thank you. And just to follow on from that, we will also be Council Member Lee and the city manager, and I will be going up to the League of Cities mayor and new council members conference. We'll be leaving tomorrow evening and returning Friday evening. And one of the things that we've done is made an appointment to see the new State Park director, General Anthony Jackson, and we'll be talking with him about our beachfront lodge and conference center. And we also have an appointment to meet with Kacho Ashajian, our state representative. So we should be able to make some very good use of that time and follow on from the very constructive time we had with the Coastal Commission. The other thing that we did with the Coastal Commission is the city manager and I stood in the parking lot down at the beach for about an hour and waited for their bus to arrive, jumped on the bus and pointed out the area to them and jumped back off. But we know that we did make some impact there as well. So, so Council Member Molinar, did you have things to comment on?
Actually, I would like to bring up something about the West Grand Avenue Enhancement Project. This flyer helped me think about it. I had brought this up before. Are we going to consider changing the speed limit? I think that, you know, we really should think about it.
That would be an item that we would agendize rather than discussing it here.
Okay.
Did you want to say something?
If I could, it certainly isn't a part of this project, and as you've noted, it could be taken up at a later time.
Thank you. Is there interest on the part of the council to bring speed limit changes up again for discussion?
Just to see if it has any, if the project itself has any impact. So we might be premature of doing it now, but it might, I wouldn't have any qualms about doing it in the future.
I think that's a good idea because that's part of the objective of the project that we're currently doing. Okay, great.
That's wise.
Any other comments?
Well, I'm not sure if this is a council member item or not.
Okay.
But I wanted to ask if we could ask that that when we have a bid and award agenda item, that we ask that we be provided a list of the bidders that have responded and the amounts that they provided. When we're asked to make a decision, a recommendation, or a decision based on staff's recommendation, but we don't know what has been provided. I mean, we don't know who has responded. We don't know if anyone has responded, and we don't know what the responses have been. So I'd like to ask that if you all agree, that just be a matter of protocol.
I support that.
And I'm sorry if I missed it. Is it the council's wish to have duplication of the entire packets that were submitted?
No. There was a matrix that we received later this evening after Mayor Pro Tem Bright's request, which just gave a breakdown of the bidders and the various parts of the bid. And I think that's all you're asking
for. Yes, it's just a simple table that shows the firm, their and the bid amounts. That's all. For example, the agenda item that we had asked us to approve that award to that company. We had no idea what other proposals had been received and what the amounts were. So it would just be beneficial, and we really can't make an informed decision unless we know what else has been received.
Okay. With the caveat that, again, this is not a bid, but a response, and that
well,
price...
any bid, any RFP, any bid, or any type of award, I think it's important that we know.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor, we can certainly do that, provide a list of, and it will vary if it's...
I think it was identified. Again, the information will be provided, and the decision-making process will take its course.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And how about council communications? Does anyone have any council communications?
No? I do.
Yes?
I'm sorry. Do you?
No.
I just wanted to mention that I had received in my Friday mail information about the Citizen Oversight Committee that we're looking for, I guess it's three people.
Yes.
So I just kind of wanted to put that out there for folks that might be watching, and it's only, what, one time a year? So I think it'd be a great opportunity for folks that might want to get involved in the city, and you only have to do it once a year. So, and then also traffic committee, we're looking for one person to sit on the traffic committee. I guess that's it.
Thank you for bringing that up. And I was remiss earlier this evening in not, I wanted to put forward some thoughts I had in terms of how the meetings flow. And I've been doing a lot of thinking recently about involving the public and what the process is and why the process, and had intended to explain that at the beginning of the meeting, and I will make myself a note to be sure I do that next time. You'll have noticed that I was a little bit more stringent tonight than perhaps we've been in the past about the order in which we ask questions, the order in which we get staff response, the order in which we open the meeting to the public. And my reason for that is because the whole point of doing this the way we do it is that initially the public have the opportunity to review the same things we review. They have the opportunity to come forward and make comments. And then we don't make decisions until we've heard from the public. And so I want to make sure that we remember that process, that we are not we're not speaking out about opinions and what we're going to do and where we're going and that sort of thing until we've had an opportunity to review the material, speak with, you know, ask any questions we may have, do our own research. From there, ask the questions that we have of staff and hear from the public. And then having heard from the public and done all of our homework, that's when we have the conversation amongst ourselves about the decisions we'll be making. So I just wanted to make it clear why I'm why I want to hold us to that standard, just to make sure that we are hearing from the public prior to making decisions. And the next
annually, the council completes, as you know, a goal and work task process that guides the actual development of the budget for the upcoming fiscal year. Once these goals and task lists are adopted, they're reviewed on a periodic basis. In fact, we completed the last review at the end of the first quarter. The purpose of this review is to give you a status report through essentially what is our mid-year the end of the second quarter, and then to begin talking about setting some the goal-setting process for the upcoming budget year. Attached to this report, and you'll find, the council will find the approved work program for FY 12-13 with the status of each goal that and work task that had been previously adopted by the council identified as part of the report. With that status, I think, report, I think you'll note that there really is a great deal of progress that has been made with this particular work program. There are, however, items that obviously the progress is less than expected or, and in some cases, work has not been initiated. For those particular items, the rationale is given as a part of that status report. A lot of times it's just a matter of resources and personnel, quite frankly. In approaching the goal-setting process for this upcoming year, we are beginning to take a look at our revenues and expenditure levels. I will tell you that I'm not expecting a great deal of change with the budget. Just as you begin thinking about the goals and work tasks for the coming year, we're not going to see significant changes in terms of revenues or expenditures. I do expect that by the end of the year, we will actually have a balanced budget. In fact, in terms of the overall budget process, what I'm going to attempt to require the organization to do is to try and get a draft budget into your hands by the end of April. In order to meet that, we need to start setting our goals relatively early. So I've got a schedule in here that I've set up, which would hopefully lead us or provide us the sufficient on the work goals and work tasks that you're considering. After that date, the work program for the next fiscal year would be finalized and would be put in place in terms of the implementation of the budget. So that's the report. I'm available to take questions on any of the current items listed in the work program for this particular year, and then would suggest that the council consider the schedule that I've outlined in the report.
So you're not necessarily this evening suggesting that we make any suggestions on this?
No.
Okay, as to what to cover, just
right.
Whether we're good with
this,
your program.
Right. This mm-hmm. is primarily a background report.
Are there any questions of staff, of city manager?
Nope.
Nope. Okay. Then I guess we need a motion. Or a direction.
It, either one.
Yeah.
If council is if it's the council's consensus that we move with that schedule, we will.
Do we have consensus?
Yes.
Okay. We've got five people saying yes.
Okay.
We have consensus.
Great.
And then two more items?
Yeah. Actually, I have three. Where staff is scheduling the first cleanup of the year. If you remember, we do that. The Grover Beautiful Days, mm-hmm. will be restarting those again on this Saturday at 8 o'clock in the in the south parking lot. We generally schedule those for the third Saturday of the month and try and encourage volunteers to come out and to assist in various project sites throughout the city. The second thing I wanted to mention is in addition to the comments already made regarding the Lodge and Conference Center, just wanted to update you all on exactly where we expect that to go. At the present time, I expect it's going to be on an agenda for the Coastal Commission between now and April. We don't have a clear indication as to which agenda it would appear on. We've been, staff-wise, at least lobbying for the sooner the better. In any event, it'll be outside the area. It won't be in Pismo Beach. Continue to work with the Jade Identified. We'll be able to do that more effectively. The meeting, just so you know, in April will be in Santa Barbara. So it could be a little closer than, let's say, Redondo Beach or San Diego, which I understand are other alternatives. So that's essentially the Lodge and Conference Center. Wanted to remind everybody that we actually are scheduling a groundbreaking for the West Grand Avenue project. That will be at 10 o'clock next Tuesday, the 22nd, right out here at the intersection of 8th and Grand, and we'll be encouraging everybody to attend that. That basically concludes my updates.
Thank you.
Just had one question on the updates. On the Grover Beautiful, what time is that going to start?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Thank you.
And along with that, it jogged my memory on a couple of things that I should have also mentioned. I had a few goals that I outlined when on the night we were sworn in. One of them was that I'd like to convene a tourism summit of folks who are tourism providers in the five cities so that we can start work on finding common goals and common ways of working together to make the pie bigger and more successfully market the area. And I'm really doing that with a view to hitting the ground running when our conference center is ready to go, make sure we've got that place full and we're getting full benefit from it. And so I've had very positive feedback from most all of the people involved. Allison Rolfe has, of Pacifica Hotels has sent me a draft marketing study that they had begun work on. We Amtrak has agreed to join us, and the Arroyo Grande Grover Beach Chamber, the Visitor Convention Bureau of the county, also the Visitor Convention Bureau. That's the count. There are two different county ones. Both of those will be joining us, and a few others. So we will be meeting here on, I believe, from 1 to 3 on the 4th of February. We'll be meeting in the conference room. So that should be very productive. And I'm excited about it because we really haven't been able to maximize some of the things that we could do. And especially, I think, with Amtrak, to build that relationship, I think, would be really positive. The other thing that I said that I wanted to work on was pulling together a thinking. I need to figure out where we are on agenda. City Attorney's report.
None today, thank you, Mayor.
None today, okay. And then I believe we're going to, from here, convene into closed session. Did you want to tell us what we'll be covering there?
Certainly. Honorable Mayor, Council Members, it is the intent of the staff to present in closed session two items. One is existing litigation, Lopez versus City of Grover Beach, and one is potential litigation, one case.
Thank you. So it is 8:59, and we are dismissed.
Adjourned. Closed session.